Morning, everyone. There you are. Let's turn in our hymn books to page whatever's behind me. And we'll sing that. 312. All right, sing with me.
God never moves without purpose or plan. When trying his servant and molding a man, give thanks to the Lord, though your testing seems long. In darkness he giveth a song. Oh, rejoice in the Lord, he makes no mistake. We know in the end of each path that I take, for when I am tried and glorified, I shall come forth as gold.
On the last,
now I can see testing comes from above. God strengthens his children and purges in love. My Father knows best, and I trust in his care. Through purging, what fruit I will bear. Rejoice in the Lord, he makes no mistakes. That I take, for when I am tried and glorified, I shall come forth as gold.
Good singing.
Amen. Amen. Good to see you this evening. What do we say, huh? Most of you have probably heard about the horrible shooting and Sutherland Springs, Texas. It took place in the morning service of appears to be a Southern Baptist church there, First Baptist Church of Sutherland Springs, where there's at least, I've heard, as high as 27 church members or attendees that were killed in the middle of their church service this morning, and many, many others injured, wounded. And so please, church family, I think we'd know how we would... Oh, we can't even begin to imagine how we would react to something like that happening. But certainly we need to hold the families, the individual families of ones that were killed, the church family, the community, a little town of 400 people. And again, the wisdom for all those involved as they seek to help and minister to those dear families. I think it'd be right that we would go to the throne of grace on behalf of them right now. Father, we bow before you this evening, and our heart goes out to these dear families that have lost loved ones today. Such a cruel and awful and horrible thing where people would be gathered to worship you. And a madman come in to take their lives. Lord, all we know is to come to you in Jesus' name, to the very throne of grace, and seek that mercy that we talked about this morning. Mercy that they need so desperately from you. Grace for this horrible time. Father, I ask you, in the name of your Son, to minister to every family, to that church family. Father, I know the pastor was away from his flock today and grieving, I'm sure. Pray, Father, oh God, for the city, the little town there. Lord, would you minister? Do what you and only you can do to pour in that spirit of comfort that they so desperately need. Those, Lord, we pray for those that are hurting, wounded. Please, as well, preserve life in this evening. Do for each one, everyone. And Lord, indeed, we come to you this evening in Jesus' name, knowing that He is indeed able to do for these ones. In His name we do pray. Amen. Amen. As I was shocked this afternoon when I saw the news and what had taken place, again, you just immediately become sick in your stomach. And one of the things that came to mind is here at Metropolitan, as we've taken the steps to provide security here for our church family. And I'll confess to you, there's been times that I've thought, I wonder, it's a lot of money. Lord, it's a lot of money we spend on that security side. But, oh my, it's cheap. It's cheap compared to what could happen. And so we're very thankful to Dan and Jacob and their service to our church. And so please, you pray for them, pray for each other. We need to be vigilant in these days. The wicked one seems to be on his mark to try to hurt and destroy. Brother C.R. and I were speaking that every week there's something, isn't there? Some disaster, some crazy person, some lunatic taking people's lives. And so we certainly need to pray for God's mercy for our nation and indeed the world in these dark days. Well, let's greet each other. Let's do that. And I'm just thankful for God's love tonight.
If you'll return back to your seats, let's turn to page 345. 345 is what a friend we have in Jesus. Please remain standing.
What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. Forfeit, oh, what needless pain we bear. heavy laden, come put with the load of Jam. Precious Savior, still our refuge, take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake,
page 118. I need thee every hour.
I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can peace afford. I need thee, oh, I need thee, every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to thee.
Let's sing the second and then the last.
I need thee every hour, stay thou nearby. Temptations lose their power when thou art nigh. I need thee, oh, I need thee, every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come. I need thee every hour, most holy one. Oh, make me thine indeed, thou blessed Son. I need thee, oh, I need thee.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Oh, y'all still in your nap. Good evening. There we go. There we go. Jim, if you'll get ready to receive this evening's offering, and we'll go over a few announcements while we're doing this. The shepherds have a prayer letter at the back, and if you're a member and have not picked up any of the new additions to the church directory, they're available at the back also. There's a sign-up sheet and back at the back for the ladies who's going to the country peddlers thing. And there is a little bit of a update on that. The bulletin says to meet at 9 o'clock. They want to meet at 8:30. So, the preacher just said that you've got to get all the shopping in as they can. So, bring everything. Well, I'm going to leave that one alone. I've got myself enough trouble with that one, I suppose. So, ladies' brunch is tomorrow at Cracker Barrel. And then next Sunday's Veterans Day. We'll be honoring our veterans. And Tuesday, the November 14th, ladies' fellowship in the pastor's class. And on the 18th, we'll be the juniors and seniors of the youth department will be providing and delivering meals to the seniors in the church. I tell you, we started that. I can't remember how many years ago I started that. Like even before Tracy and I came here, and that's been such a blessing. So I'm looking forward to that. That's one of the things I really look forward to every year. And it turns out to be a better blessing than we planned for. So there's a Brother Wayne has a letter out there, and there's a note of thank you also from Miss Marlene. So anything else? I think we got it all. So gentlemen, Remember, pass the plates. Don't hold on to it. And Dylan, if there don't look like there's enough, pass it back. No, just a method with you. Okay. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for us today. Thank you for everything you've given us, Lord. Lord, thank you for a wonderful day that we had here today, Lord. But Lord, we do pray for the church down in South Texas, Lord. It's just unthinkable when you hear about stuff like this. Lord, just bless the family, bless the church, bless the community. And Lord, this is nothing new to you. It wasn't a surprise to you. But Lord, it's hard for us to understand. Thank you for your knowing it and providing. Lord, I ask you to be at the offering about to receive and momentarily, and Brother Bruce comes. The Lord just gives him the liberty to say what you want him to say. Love you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Different service this evening. We're going to. I like to hear updates and from our missionaries when they get back from trips and what's going on through their ministries. Of course, we just finished our missions conference a couple of weeks ago, and certainly we need to be up on what's going on in their ministries, what's going, the Lord is doing. I would pass on. Of course, Bruce can add anything he wishes that. David and Kelsey are getting settled there in Argentina, and it is a sign of the times of where we've got to. I was talking to David on Friday, and I asked him, "Are you moved into the house that you're renting yet?" And he says, "Oh no, we can't move in. We don't have internet yet." Now, if he'd have said electricity or water or something, but don't have internet yet. Can't move in over there. But that's where we've come to. They're staying with. The pastor Verde that was with us a couple months ago. But so we're going to have an update from Brother Bruce and his most recent trip. And we also haven't had an update for several months from Brother Hudson. So he's going to come and share what the Lord's done through them over this last summer and so forth. So they're going to come one after the other. And so then we're also have a baptism this evening, and we'll take care of that. And after these men are finished, Brother Bruce.
Well, good evening, everyone. It's a pleasure to be back again. Running joke here, everyone. If you've been here for a while, you know what we're talking about. You know, the Lord has always been good to us. We're very grateful for all His blessings. Thankful for all your prayers for our son David as he's there in Buenos Aires. He's typing as he says, Friday for...
That aspect. But the purpose of this trip was mainly for the dedication of a church building. Now, I'll give you a little bit of history behind this church here in just a little bit. If you, father went to this place called Censo, which means census, basically in Spanish, about 50 years ago. And the only way to get into it was by air. It was close, about 5 or 6 miles from one of another tribe called the Lacandon tribe, which is one of the most primitive tribes in Mexico. A lot of witch doctors, a lot of other things like that. But he went into this village because it was where some Celtals moved to the jungle because they gave him some free land. And so it was really hard to get to. And as he was working there, and we're going to try to see if this is going to work for us. There we go. This was how you would get into the village initially. This was in 1970. My father had just purchased this airplane, and they were flying it into this little airstrip. You can see right in front of us. Dad was not flying it. He's still learning to fly. Had another missionary helping him. As they were landing it, it crashed right after this picture. Further on up down the runway, he was flying a little too fast, couldn't stop it. And at the very end of the runway, he went off to the side. It was able to be repaired, but it was a big blow because the airplane had just been purchased. And it's kind of rough when you just bought the airplane and you've got to say to the brethren, the churches that just helped you buy it, we've got to repair it now. And it was really rough on Dad. This was the first group there in Censo. And the first time they went in there, they had 29 people make professions of faith. And it was really amazing. You can adjust that for me, Brother Ronnie, so the music's not too hard, not too high. And they started using, first of all, they had a very small building, the one you see on the left. The building on the left with the blue stripe on it was their very first building. I really think it was the second one. The first one probably had just brushes and stuff on it. That had a metal roof on it. It had wooden sides. But then they built the building on the right. And I was with my father. By that time, I was already in Honduras. And I went with him to San Solis one time to help dedicate the building on the right in the mid-1980s. And I can remember my father, when he first came up, they did not tell him that they'd finished it. They did not even tell him they'd built it. When we arrived in the village for a conference, they said, "We finished the building and we want to dedicate it." It was a surprise to us. And my father started weeping and crying. It held about 400 people, and they kept it packed out. But this church went through a lot of trials. This was an area where the communist guerrillas came about 20 years ago, created a big rebellion. And they took over this town for 9 months. All the Christians were kicked out. And they used this building as a dance hall and a community center. They took it away from them, and they lost. 9 months later, the military came in, ran the communists out, and they were able to take possession again of their houses, their lands, and also the church building. So they went through a lot of persecution. They had a lot of experiences going through all this. Despite that, this church probably had the largest attendance of all the churches in the state of Chiapas, between 300 and 400. Really amazing. Their pastor was killed accidentally. Not this man, this is Brother Carlos. But their pastor, the first pastor, was accidentally killed while he was fishing on the river. A tree fell on him. And so they've had a lot of trials as they're going through it. This was in 1994, 23 years ago. My father was here with Brother Carlos. And one of the last times my father visited Censo. And they're standing on the piece of land that they're going to build a new building on, that you'll be seeing in the pictures today. This is before everything started. It took them 10 years to build this piece of property. They started 10 years ago in 2007, and here they're starting to build and dig the foundation. It's just to one side. If you look at the main, that little white block building, they tore down the wooden one, and just to the left of it, they started building all the foundations and stuff for a very ambitious project, a very ambitious building. And we're having trouble here. If you'll advance it for me, I'd appreciate it. Sometimes I can't do it. There we go. And as you can see here, they're putting in the foundation and stuff there. Plans were for a very tall building in very hot. This is a very hot area. It's in the jungle. So a taller building is cooler. And so that's an important thing that they're trying to get done. As you can see here, when the wall started to go up, it was not a small thing. It's a very, very large building. And the Lord began to bless them. You can see from here. Now, the airstrip is right between us and the building. Now, they don't use it anymore. That airstrip is now a street. No airplanes go in there. Right there where you're seeing in front of us, the airstrip was where the airplane used to touch down and go off toward the left the rest of the way when it was landing. So that right there is where all the things that were going on for many, many years. As you can see, they were making a very ambitious project, and not only were they making really tall walls, but they loved to have the front, the face, what do you call it, the facade. Well, that's French. I don't like to use French. Anyway, they always like to do that. They have their style, and as you can see here, they're putting it all together. And they even will have a balcony, believe it or not. First church we've ever seen them build down there with a balcony in the back. It is twice the size of ours here, brethren. It is huge. And that's why it took them 10 years to build. And they really planned it out very carefully. A lot of times we think, well, they're Indians. They don't have that much education. Don't fool yourselves. They can do much more than we can. And in fact, look at this design. When you see it, that as it goes through the process, and they built it without a single penny of U.S. funds. Amen. Not a single penny. Amen. They did all themselves. They are... Brother Mario. He's a student at Brother Mario at the Bible Institute they have there. He's one of the teachers now. He's a translator. He's going to help with the translation of the New Testament and the Old Testament right now. He's a really sharp man, and his education is really moving farther along. But the church decided to ordain him. So they said, well, we've got to use the building to fit everybody in because we can't fit them in our other building. So this was in August of 2015 at Brother Alejandro's ordination. Now, they didn't have a floor in. You see the green... You see here, they didn't have the windows in. There was no glass or anything like that. They just kind of halfway decorated it. The back wall had some curtains to it. And this is Brother Alejandro and his wife during the time we were doing the interrogation, when he was answering the questions for his ordination. And then I had the privilege of laying hands on him for that 2 years ago. So I was familiar with the building already. But they were really sad. They said, we wanted to have the floor.
Lo pedimos en nombre de Cristo. Amén. Muy bien, hermanos. Llegó el momento importante. Vamos a hacer la ceremonia de cortar el listón. Esto no se encuentra en la Biblia. Bueno, lo hacemos para una tradición, para indicar que estamos listos para tomar este lugar y hacerlo. Voy a explicar que hermano Alex me ayude, porque son dos listones. Yo voy a cortar uno y hermano Alex va a cortar el otro. Amén. Llegó el momento, hermano, de abrir la puerta. Pase, hermano.
Just cut the ribbon in the new church. Look out, coming in. Look at him coming in. It's amazing. Mucho grande.
Time. You know, we had about 60 churches represented. Some came all the way from Puebla, which is 4.
Water's still sitting here. I don't know what we're putting these mics on for, because I don't intend to do any running, but Brother Jim asked me to give a little report. Brother John today, where's Brother John? Okay, are we going down? Okay. I wish I could. Showing of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you're an administrator, or if you're a singer, or a preacher, or a teacher, whatever you are, that's the purpose. But then to the church, he gives some gifted people. And I wanted to read this verse over in Ephesians chapter 4. And he gave some apostles and some prophets. I'm in Ephesians 4:11. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. I'm going to stop there. There's a lot more could go with it. You could turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 at the end of that list of gifts. He immediately goes into the explanation of the church as the body. Each member of the body has certain functions and responsibilities. So here in this passage, he gives a list of some gifted men. Some of them are no longer necessary or needed. The apostles served their day. But when the Bible was given in its fullness, they no longer needed. Somebody tells you they're an apostle, they're a false apostle. And so anyway, I was visiting with a preacher this week, and I told him about lingering on the call to preach. I was a superintendent in a chemical plant. I worked there a lot of years. Every once in a while, God would touch my heart, and then I'd push it aside and get distracted with other things. I just couldn't believe that God would call me to preach. I couldn't believe that He would use such a person as me. I'm saying all that so I can say this to you. Don't discount the power of God. Don't discount what He can do. I think, wasn't it this morning, they played a little as much when God is in it. And none of us are worthy. And the best we'll ever do won't be worthy. But it's only what God does in us, through us, and with us that counts. And everything He does is not to our honor, but to the honor of the Lord Jesus Christ through His church, that the gospel may be preached We just saw some of the humblest people that you'll run into. Brother Bruce, I don't have the seniority in Mexico that you do. But I've been in several churches in Mexico. And one of the marks of the churches in Mexico is that most of them are unfinished. There's always something left unfinished that if you come back next time, it may be finished, but something else will be unfinished. That's the way they operate. And most of the time, they don't quite get it all painted. They don't quite get it all polished. Sometimes we're quick to judge. But if you were a $15 a day man, and you were in that church, I believe if we put it in comparison, us $150 a day guys, how much contribution we give into our church? How much sacrifice do we give the Lord in our church? So what he says in this passage is that he gives these men with special talents and gifts. Every one of us has got them. He just names these as given to the church for a purpose. I had to come to this passage before I ever surrendered to preach. I had to get a hold of it that God was not calling a Wayne Hudson to be another Billy Graham and have the fame of the world. But he was calling a vessel to be used of God. When I came down to this thing of evangelism, I didn't understand evangelism. I didn't know why God kept troubling my heart about it. I put it off 3 or 4 years. Maybe longer than that. I wanted to be a pastor. I had surrendered to be a pastor. One day as I was reading this passage, God showed me this passage that apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers are all in the same sentence. And the call to reject the call of an evangelist was just as drastic as to reject the call to preach, to be a pastor, to teach, or any other gift that God has given us. And so that day I surrendered to this thing we call evangelism. I asked the Lord back then. I made a deal in my prayer with Him. I don't want to promote and politic for meetings. My practice, I don't call pastors and ask for meetings. Sometimes it's tempting to, but my deal with the Lord was, if you open the door, I'll go through. Amen. And some of you have heard the testimony that afternoon at 1 o'clock. He opened the first door. I'll preach the week before Thanksgiving in the church that pastor called me that day. I didn't know him. He didn't know me. We had met. Neither one of us had heard the other preach. We didn't know. He just called me and he said, "Brother Hudson," he said, "I don't know why, but the Lord has put you on my heart, and I believe He wants to use you to help our church." That was 3 hours after I prayed. And I've preached there every year since, sometimes twice a year or three times a year. God has opened that door. And I'll be back there this year. So, what I'm trying to say is this. My report is not a report on Wayne Hudson. My report is on the Lord and what He has done. He does some things that we can't believe. I did a little bit of review today. Susie and I have been in 27 churches since April 1st. Brother Jim asked me to give him the summertime report. A minute. in those 27 churches God has worked, back in January, I got a call from Jim Fuller. Most of you don't know him. Jim Fuller is the head of the Victory Baptist Press. He was the pastor of Victory Baptist Church. Now his son is the pastor of that church. And he called me out of the blue on a Sunday morning. We were headed up here. And he said, "Brother Wayne, I would like for you to consider being a representative of the Victory Baptist Press." He said, "I'm not asking you to quit doing what you're doing, but I'm just asking you to think about it and think about it." I had to come settle with the Lord before I could. Finally, I called back and told him that I would consider it. He said, "Here's what I want to had us come in." I believe April, somewhere along there. It may have been before that. I can't tell you when it was. Early in the year, we went down to Pensacola, Milton, Florida, just outside of Pensacola, and he invited us to preach there that Sunday, preach in the church and be in the church all day Sunday. And then on Monday and Tuesday, we spent those days in the printing ministry. And we learned a little about the printing ministry. I'm going to share some more with you in just a minute, but now we're going to see, I want you to see the video of a local church printing ministry. It was birthed in the church. It operates out of the church. It is a function of that church. It's a ministry to put the gospel in the hands of folks around the world. I'll tell you about that in a minute.
I'm Jim Fuller, the director of the Victory Baptist Press here in Milton, Florida. In a moment, we're going to give you a demonstration about how our workers can take perfectly clean paper and turn it into the printed Word of God. When it's determined that we're going to print a Bible or a Bible portion in any particular language, we first have to have that keyed into a computer. From the computer, it's sent to a filmmaker and the negatives are produced. The negatives are then pasted up on a masking sheet. The masking sheet is used to burn that text into a metal plate. The metal plates are then installed on our big web press and prints on both sides of the paper as it comes off the big roll. It then goes through a slitter, a cutter, a folder, and comes out the other end of the press in the form of a 32-page booklet called a signature. If we're doing complete Bibles, it takes 34 signatures for each Bible produced. If we're doing New Testaments, it takes 10 signatures for each New Testament produced. And now let's watch the big press in actual operation. The next phase of the operation in completing a complete Bible is printing covers. Now, this is a vinyl cover that will go on one of the Spanish Bibles that we're printing currently. But first of all, it has to have the name of the Bible imprinted on it, like this gold imprint that you see that says Santa Biblia. That's for the Spanish Bible. Now, this little press is an old, old press made in Germany in 1950, but it's amazing what a fabulous job it does. I think this might be the quietest running piece of equipment that we have in our shop. Me and the press have something in common. We're both getting old, but it still does a great job. We're now ready for the final phase of the production of a complete Bible or of a New Testament. In this 12-pocket collating system, the pages are put in proper order. They then go around this circular part of the machine, have the covers glued to the back of them, and then go through this three-blade trimmer and have the outside edges trimmed, and then they're boxed and ready to be shipped to a mission field somewhere around the world. The book of John and the book of Romans is by far the most popular item that we have ever printed at Victory Baptist Press. This machine takes two signatures, which completes the John and Romans, and the cover, puts them together, stitches or staples it on the back side, trims the three outer edges, and brings out the other end in the completed product. This has been a great tool for mass evangelism, no telling how many countries around the world.
The video that you have just watched was originally produced several years ago. And since that time, we've been able to make several changes in the print shop. We've updated some equipment, added a two-color and a four-color sheet-fed press. I just installed a packer box on the big web press. What has not changed is the process and the product. Still printing Bibles, sending them to missionaries around the world. We're grateful for what the Lord has given us. Every piece of equipment in the print shop is in good working condition. We have a group of dedicated workers who come to work at 7 o'clock every morning and work hard every day. We've got a group of supporters around the country who financially support the ministry and make what we do possible. For over 30 years, we've been able to print these Bibles and have never had to make a charge for any of them. We do major projects every year, but we have the capacity in the print shop to do so much more. And that's where we need your help. We need financial support now more than ever because the need and the demand is so great. Consider something. For just 25 cents, we are able to print and ship a John Romans to the mission field. It costs us about 50 cents to do a New Testament, and for approximately $2, we can produce and ship a complete Bible around the world. Do you not think it would be a worthy investment of $2 to send a Bible to a foreign mission field? Where could you invest your money into a more worthy project than sending the Word of God to places where there is none? That's what we do, and you can help us. We need you to become partners with us, and together we can do so much more. There are three specific ways that you can be partners with us. First of all, include Victory Baptist Press in your mission program. However you support missions, would you consider supporting this ministry on a regular basis? It doesn't matter how much the amount. Even a small amount, given consistently and regularly, makes a huge difference. So would you support Victory Baptist Press in your mission program? Secondly, would you consider supporting one of our printing projects with a special offering? If you can't give monthly, maybe you can give once. We're always working on sending a container full of Bibles to some country, and you could help us complete that particular project. It is these extra offerings that enable us to get over the hump on major printing projects. Thirdly, you can shop at our online bookstore. Over the years, we have built an online bookstore that sells only the best, fundamentally sound books and music. All of the proceeds from the bookstore goes directly to support the Scripture Printing Ministry. When you shop at victorybaptistpress.com, you are helping us print more Bibles. I want to thank you for giving us a few minutes of your time to share with you what the Lord has done for us and through us. If you're already a supporter of this ministry, I thank you from the bottom of my heart. God has used you to touch hundreds of people around the world with His Word, and I thank you for your sacrifice and support. Again, visit us at victorybaptistpress.com, pray for us, and consider what you can do to help us get more Bibles to missionaries around the world.
I ever talked to Jim Fuller. I was pastor at Bio Drive Baptist Church in Alvin, Texas. We had six missionaries out of our church. Five of them were in the Hispanic world. And back in those days, Bruce knows this, you might get a Spanish Bible, but that's about all that you had. And they were desperately needing some training materials, discipling materials, and tracts, and you name it. And we'd looked everywhere. It was hard to find that kind of materials. Somebody told me about Victory Baptist Press. I called them and talked to Brother Fuller. Explained that, what I just explained to you. And he said, well, we can send you this and this and this, and we'll do this and this and this. And I said, wait a minute, Brother Fuller. I said, we're just a small church. Why don't you tell me what you've got available, and then I'll tell you what we can afford, and we'll go from there. He said, well, Brother Wayne, I just figured we'd just send you some of all of it, and all we ask you to do is send the postage. Amen. And that was my first introduction to that kind of a ministry. He asked us to come down and preach for him, and we spent 2 days looking at what you just saw in 5 minutes. We watched that big truck roll in with 32 rolls of paper on it. That would get, I wrote down, that'll make 400,000 John and Romans. And, so on. I've got a 12,000. While we were there, the truck rolled in with the paper, and there was 32 rolls of paper on that truck that went entirely for the Cebuano language in Philippines. 12,000 Bibles. After I got home, I sat down and wrote Brother Fuller a letter. And I used Lamentation, I believe it's chapter 3, verse 50. Jeremiah said, mine eye has affected my heart. Amen. And what I said to him is, I came and I saw. My heart was stirred. And now I can say, I will not be your rep for your ministry, but I'll be a rep as a part of that ministry. I'll be glad to represent your ministry. At the time that we signed up, he gave me a letter, and I'll read you a portion of it. A brother Cadenhead went for 2 Bible conferences in Zimbabwe, Africa, this past year. Out of a crowd of 500 souls, he realized that there was not more than a dozen people that had their own Bible. And so he came home with a burden about that. And he's planning on taking a team this coming summer in 2018. Someone donated $3,500 to the Victory Baptist Press to get the ball rolling, to get some Bibles in that language. It's the Shona language. And so they're going to have 3 conferences this coming year. And the project was for $60,000, they would be able to print 40,000 John and Romans, and I can't tell you how many Bibles, but a certain amount of Bibles for that. So that the preachers get a Bible and every preacher has John and Romans to distribute to his people. So we came home with that burden on our heart. And I don't ever put pressure. This is the first time I've ever really presented the work except to preachers. I tried to give them that little CD you got. There's another one about South America. Over the past several years, they put 200,000 Bibles in nine Spanish-speaking countries in South America. They didn't do it. Churches did it. That fellow you saw running the press and doing this, he's been with them over 30 years. He was a superintendent in a manufacturing business, making big bucks. He wanted to do something for the Lord. He came. He found a place. Brother Jim told me that he celebrated 30 years this year, and they gathered up and gave him an offering to a bonus. First time he's ever got a bonus. Here's what he said. He said he pouted around that shop for two or three days. And he said he came to me and he said, "Brother Jim, I want to put this bonus on the Bible printing." That's the heart. The books they sell go to support that fellow and three or four other people that run that shop. I'm glad it blesses my heart. That $60,000 for the Zimbabwe project, you're too late. You can't get in on it. It's already been financed this year by independent Baptist churches across this country. I just gave that CD to some church and they sent a check and had a big part in that $60,000. I had no idea they even had the ability to do it. But we can do what God puts on our heart to do. So we've been in all these churches. I just like to just say, I can't tell you everything that's went on. Brother Jim asked me to say something about the camp. I go to a camp. This was our 11th year to be in Camp Masterson. It's in the most unlikely place in the world. It's between Amarillo and Dumas, Texas, out there in the bald open plains. It's a miraculous camp. It belongs to Riverview Baptist Church in Borger, Texas. The Bivens Cattle Company owns that land, and they had leased land to a natural gas company, and that company had built a camp for their workers out there in a little town, really. One time when I was out of work years ago, I paved the streets in that thing. And that week, me and Susie gave $1.75 tribe to the church. I made $17.50 that week paving the streets out there. But all those oil companies closed those camps down because of the lawsuits. The great liability of people living in the camps contaminated with the product that they're producing around. You know, we're a lawsuit country. And all those places, we lived in a camp for a while when I lived with my uncle, and he worked in the oil field. I lived in the camp. But there's no camps now. They all sold out. Bivens Cattle Company had a clause in the contract that said, if you ever shut this town down and shut that school of Masterson down, all the property goes back to Bivens. And Mrs. Bivens was trying to sell the schoolhouse. She was the only survivor of the original Bivens Cattle Company. Her kids wanted nothing to do with that, but she wanted to sell that schoolhouse. They were asking $500,000 for the schoolhouse. Brother Jimmy Gilmore got a burden about a camp. He said the day he called Miss Bivens and made a deal, let come look at it, said that it's an hour drive from Borger over there. And he said his wife chewed on him from the time he left. You know we can't afford that. Why are we going over there to spend time, waste her time, our time? We're going to be over half a day and we're not even in the market for anything like that. When they got there, Miss Bivens met them. She had a big wad of keys in her hand and carried them through the camp. Showed the gym, the kitchen, the cafeteria, all the little rooms and everything about the camp. When they got through, she said, Reverend Gilmore, why do you want this school anyway? And you'd have to know Brother Jimmy, I guess. He said, well, Miss Bivens, I've been thinking about those little old boys and girls over in Amarillo and over in Borger, over here in Dumas. In these towns all around us, they've never heard the gospel one time. They've never heard that Jesus loved them and would save them if they'd just trust Him. And he said, I'd just like to build a place where we can bring them out here and tell them about Jesus and see some of them get saved. By the time he got through, he was crying and she was crying. And he said she stood there kind of looking at that ball of keys. And she said, I don't know why I can't just give them to you right now. And he handed him the keys to the schoolhouse. That was 35 years ago. The first little girl that got saved was an Indian girl from New Mexico. And she wrote a big poster. Thank you, Miss Bivens, for giving us this camp. I got saved and I know Jesus because you did. You can multiply that by the thousands. Camp's been in business now for 35 years. When I first went there, Brother Jimmy, it's a youth camp, but they also have family camp going on at the same time. And I don't know how they make that work. I don't know how they ever got to that, but it works. Over the last 11 years, I've taught the adult class. Sometimes we have upward of 100 in that class. Most of the time, it's 60 to 70. We've had shouted outs in the class. We've had folks surrender to preach in the class. We've had folks that sat after the class with their pastor for 2 or 3 hours until they got saved. This year was probably the lowest number of folks saved in any year we've been there. They had about 15 saved. We had about the best camp that we've ever had. We had every class excelled. All the activities were wonderful. And my class was great. I just enjoyed every day of it. Fewer saved. But I felt like it was a discipleship time for folks to go back home and enrich their churches. One year we went, there was 50 saved. I can't tell you why it's different one year than the next, but for 11 years we've just been enjoying I teach that adult class three hours, and then I help with the preaching. This last year, I closed the camp out. One last chance to be saved. And I just urge you, our youth go to a camp, and a good camp. I preached at that camp. I know it's a good camp. I've got a personal history. Later in the year, I would say about the 1st of August, it seemed like God shifted a gear. We went to two revivals in Arkansas, came home for a meeting over here at Longview Baptist Church in White Settlement. And from then till now, we've been busy in meetings. It's been an unusual 2 or 3 months. It seemed like where we've been, the Lord has moved in. Things have happened, and there've been folks saved, and there've been folks. I had two preachers. One wrote me an email this week. One told me on the phone this week about commitments that they had made in some of those meetings that I didn't even know about. Most of the times, I say this. That's what I tell the preachers. Most of the time, I blow in, blow up, blow out, and we don't ever know what happened. We don't know who's going to get saved. We don't know what's going to happen. I would say to you that my role as an evangelist, I believe I've found my ministry, and it's a ministry of encouragement, exhortation. Across this country, churches are empty-hearted and discouraged and defeated. I really grieved over the few folks getting saved in the meetings I preached and prayed over it and worried about it. But God began to show me, and now I believe I understand, I'm a minister to the church. That verse said, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Every one of those take place right in here. Brother Daniel Flores can tell you, and others here can tell you, that salvation takes place out there. If we're going to reach them, we're going to have to go where they are. But if we go with no zeal, no heart, no burden, no move of God in our own heart, we'll fail. I really believe my ministry is a ministry of revival in the local church. We make some great camp meetings and Bible conferences during the year. But I really believe the work is done right here in the local church. Preachers need to be perked up, encouraged, and that they can go on. But you're the church.
Right.
I'm the church. Our pastor is not the church. Somebody wants to say, let him lead them all to Christ. No. We're saved so we can go tell them. That's our job. I had those two preachers give that commitment, probably greater than that. I had a preacher come and cry on my shoulder after the revival. We spent an hour in prayer. And he said, Brother Wayne, I want to be that pastor that can lead his people in the direction we talked about in that meeting. He said, I don't know if I can do it again. I'd like for you to pray for those guys in those positions. Had a little old preacher call me. He's got an opportunity to go to another church. You've heard me talk about him before. His name's Timothy Hollingshead. He ministers up in Swink, Oklahoma. He's the pastor of the Indian Baptist Church in that little old spot. He's been there 5 or 6 years. A lot of times he preaches to one man and his wife. a lot of services. It's just him and his wife. That's hard. I don't know if I could do that or not. I don't know if I could be Tim Hollingshead. But he's been faithful. He called me and he said, I need your prayer, brother. They want me down there. And he said, if that's where God wants me to go, I want to go. But I don't want to leave here if this is what God wants me to. That's a heart. That's a heart of a servant. That's the heart of a soul-winning vessel that God can use. So, at our ladies' meeting, I had a lady come in tears while we were serving out there on the line. And she said, oh, Brother Wayne, why did we quit? I said, what are you talking about? She said, that meeting should have went on. We should have went on. We were just getting started. That's the ministry I'm in. It's hard to know what we're doing sometimes. And sometimes, you know, I called a fella when I was talking about going in evangelism, and he said, I said, I just wanted to get some counsel from you. He said, well, just remember this, Brother Wayne, every time you finish a meeting, you're out of job. And that'll put the starch in your collar. I'm just thankful to be a servant of the Lord. I'm thankful for whether it's helping them get Bibles in Africa, or whether it's preaching to a church where the old man is just feels like he's lost his shooting tall, as we used to say when we were playing marbles. Or if there's a little old lady somewhere in that just needs some encouragement. Whatever God wants, that's what I want. And I'm thankful for this church. Thankful for this pastor. I'm thankful for a church that understands the ministry of evangelism. Susie gets awfully tired of running the road. Sometimes we get discouraged, and it's so good to come back in here and get fed again. Get somebody comes and says, boy, we sure did miss you. So good to see you in church. There's no place like home. And I'm thankful to be at home here. I just ask you to pray for us. I got some cards and stuff about that printing ministry. You can get on the list for a newsletter every few months. Pray for them. Those John and Romans and Bibles for that Shona language. Brother Jim was able to get the language manuscripts from Trinitarian Bible Society. All those Bible printers work together. And that's the way it ought to be. And church, if we could help some Shona family have a Bible in their lap, it'd be worth it. So, thank y'all.
Amen. It's a privilege, isn't it? Be part of these ministries, little old church like ours, have impact in places in so many parts of the world. Amen, brother. And again, we're grateful, we're thankful. You can go on the internet to the Victory Baptist Press's website. I don't think a week goes by I don't get something from them and about their ministry and the bookstore and so forth. Pray for them. Pardon?
I got one good book. I know this,
sir. Being of Our House? Brother Hudson's book on the family. I think I saw a pretty good book called The Bible, too.
Amen. And what a blessing it is indeed. And, you know, I asked these two preachers, notice I said preachers, to come and give an update. And I thought, well, I hope they can fill up the service. Well, that's good. I appreciate it. Wow. I remember seeing pictures of that church building when I was in Mexico in July, I guess it was, before they put the steam to the shovel in these last few months to get it all finished up and beautiful. And we're so thankful again that we can be part of all that. Well, we got one more thing to take care of this evening. And I'm going to ask Landon Hall to come down and join me, if you would, Landon. I told him, Landon wants to present himself for church membership tonight. Can you come up here and join me so we got the microphone? Thank you. Amen. Now he's going to get all bashful on me. Joni called the other day and said, Landon wants to get baptized. And I said, well, praise the Lord. I think I knew he got saved a while back. They won't bite, you can look at him. I told him, your dad can come down with you. The family can come down with you when you present yourself tonight. He said, no, I want to do it on my own, he told his folks. And so I appreciate that. And again, we're grateful for the Hall family. Thankful for God adding them to our church. I don't know, how long ago has it been? Has it been a year yet? Not quite a year. And a blessing they've been to our church indeed. And so we have the privilege this evening of having Landon come forward. He wants to present himself to your church for baptism, of course, for church membership. Landon, you have received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Yes, sir. And it's your desire to follow the Lord in believers' baptism, become part of Metropolitan Baptist Church. He said, amen. Yes. Amen. Church family, all in favor of receiving Landon on his profession of faith and desire to baptism, become a member of Metropolitan Baptist Church, say amen.
Amen.
Pose the same sign and so word. You know what we do now? We're going to go get baptized, right? Amen. All right. John, would you come and lead us in a couple songs while we get ready? And we're going to have Landon get baptized here. Amen. He's got a bunch of family here, too. We're thankful for that.
All right, why don't we stretch our legs and stand for a moment. Let's turn to page 201. 201. More about Jesus.
More about Jesus would I know. More of His grace to others show. More of His saving fullness see, more of His love who died for me. More about Jesus, more about Jesus. More of His saving fullness see, more of His love who died for me.
We're going to sing a couple of other verses, but I need a favorite song ready when we're done with that one, okay? So on the second and then the last.
More about Jesus let me learn, more of His holy will discern. Spirit of God, my teacher be, showing the things of Christ to me. More about Jesus. More about Jesus, more of His saving fullness see, more of His love who died for me. More about Jesus on His throne, riches and glory all His own. More of His kingdom sure increase, more of His coming Prince of Peace. More about Jesus, more about Jesus.
Jesus, more of His saving fullness see, more of His love who died for me. Y'all can sit down, by the way. I won't make you stand too long. We have a favorite. 341. Victory in Jesus. I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory, how He gave His life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about His groaning, of His precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is due Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. Good deal. Let's stand one more time. We'll be dismissed with our chorus. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord.